This is definitely the most collaborative record we've done within our band from start to finish.
I sort of wonder what you're learning along the way from that, about what's important to you and to your peers and your contemporaries, and help us to better understand truly what is important to an artist.
I was just talking to someone. I don't want to say any names because I don't want to put them on the spot.
They're famous.
So are Paramore. They're one of the most famous and successful humble bands ever. But they are famous and successful. Generational fans, instantly recognizable, and they haven't even released their best album yet. That's about to happen. It's called This Is Why, and it's the sum of all of what we've loved about Paramore. We find them in an incredible space, both mentally, emotionally, and literally. Manny Marroquin's Larrabee Studios for a conversation which takes lots of twists and turns. You're going to love it. So settle in and spend some time with me and Paramore.
It's good to see you guys.
Good to see you too. Finally!
I don't know, man. I mean, did I think this would happen? Absolutely. I knew that there'd be another Paramore record, but it was fascinating watching it all come back together. Nothing about the way you walked away and the moment you chose to come back, I feel, makes sense conventionally.
I like that.
You didn't break up, but you certainly didn't sort of openly dance around each other and tease us with this collaboration or this thing or that. It was like, no, Paramore is, as of right now, not active.
Yes, we needed it.
You know, that's really bold. I mean, a lot of people put that in writing, but they don't see it through.
Yeah.
And I can imagine for you as a band, it was just a natural process rather than a sharp line through everything.
I think the fact that it might have felt or seemed natural is because it was just what we needed, and it's just where we were at, you know, in a very genuine way. So I think I've said this before, you can't strategize those things. Like, you really can't, like, being in a band and doing all the things we do, you have to plan out years in advance, and that's not how life works, right? So when you finally decide to tune more into your real life or who's happening in you behind the scenes, like, I think you just can't strategize it. So it was just naturally a very, it was a very insular place for a little while. The pandemic obviously kind of contributed to that, but it was just where we were at.
Can I ask you, because I've never asked you, if there was one sort of, looking back on it now and putting some context around it with a bit of hindsight, bit of reflection, is there sort of one fundamental thing that you can really say drove your decision to just not be an active band for like quite a long time?
I think that it started mostly because I think, you know, the machine that is any band or musical act or creative entity, you know, it's like you just keep going, you know, and stopping kind of means that you lose traction, you know, you lose your fan base or you lose people's attention. And
yeah, and people that you work with also.
Yeah, exactly. You feel responsible for people's livelihoods. And we're so grateful that we get to like partner with people that we really love and like do this together. But it really feels hard to make the decision to step away. And I think I just personally was like kind of starting to fall apart, I think, after so many years of just going and going and going. And then you take a couple months off and then you start writing and you do the whole thing over again. And so I pretty much went to Zach and Haley and was like, I need some time. And it was so amazing because they were both so gracious and empathetic towards me, you know. So we were like, all right, this is like the last thing that we have booked. And, you know, I was like, anything that we need to do, I'm down to do, but I just need to know that we're going to have time after this. And we picked the last thing that we were going to do, which ended up being Art and Friends in Nashville. And we just kind of, you know, we told our manager, we're like, hey, this is not like we're obviously not breaking up, but we really need you to honor us and just like, don't bring things to us. Like we really need you to protect us right now and let us go away for as long as we need to. And
that's so powerful.
Somehow he did.
Well, you know why? Because it was an essential
trust
move.
Totally.
Because the amount of artists I've spoken to throughout my life who have presented that, and then just one more great opportunity comes along, and just one more and one more, and always with the best of intentions. But how do you say no to this guy?
Right.
How do we say no to this?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, right.
Yes. What you're really asking for, I think, then is like, can I actually trust this process enough to have a future that we can control? Huge.
So true. And Mark, our manager, he's, you know him. He's been our manager since day one. I can't imagine the feeling from his vantage point of being like, no idea. Don't really know what's going on actually in their heads. Don't know when this is going to come back around. But cool. He was so good to us about it. And I mean, that was the first time in our career that I went more than like, you know, a few days, let alone a couple weeks without talking to him. He's a mentor to us, you know? He's definitely not just a manager.
I think like when Taylor initially brought that up too, I don't know how you really felt, but I was kind of like, well, I just joined the band again. I want to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, my tank was full, you know? But I didn't realize like in hindsight, now looking back, like, pivotal years for us, you know, for me getting like turning 30, you know, really like becoming who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a huge thing for making this record.
Well, the thing about being prioritizing events and moments in your life, capturing the memories that ultimately will keep you company as you mature and grow older and life changes shape, is that sometimes you try to sort of create them. And you forget that actually they're just happening.
Yeah.
For real.
They're just happening around you. Mm. And I think that's why art and artists have such a front row seat to that, because so much is going on around you that the great artists realize, like you do now, that having presence of mind during the chaos, embracing the change, is actually going to give you the best experiences anyway.
True. That's hard. Mm-hmm. Man, that feels too adult sometimes.
Well, you know what my therapist said to me yesterday? I've been dying to share this one with you.
What?
He said, you know the thing about change you can't avoid? I said, what's that? He said, everyone's always one step behind it.
That's so good.
It's good, right? That's a good
is
one.
Is your therapist writing a book?
I hope not, because I was going to put it in my book.
You're writing a book.
After you talked to me about it the other day, I was like, all right, maybe I'll write a book.
I'm you mind. Should.
No. I love it. When you don't whoopsie me, man, you come up with all the good stuff. You inspire me, T. You know, you went out, speaking of inspiring us, you went out and you hit the road and you did so with an album. It was done. It's like this little secret. Like, it must have been kind of crazy for you to go out and honor all these songs that everybody loves and play the title song.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of half thought you might just dump the news in once or something, but you just really honored the record.
Yeah.
And it must have felt in a weird way. Like I said, like it was your little secret. You were holding on to it. How did that feel?
Zach,
to save it.
Yeah.
It felt right to like enter into the world again with one song and really give that life to that song.
Especially to start the show with it.
Yeah.
It was such a boss move.
You said something about the tour before. It was mainly about like how many new people were at the shows. Mm. And I think that's why it was so cool to honor.
I agree with that.
The past in a way that brought these new people into it.
Yeah, because I was in the crowd and I watched the way people were reacting to songs that in some cases were 10, sort of 15 years old.
Yeah.
And they were hearing them for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you were having the time of your life.
Yeah. That show was so fun.
There really wasn't any really bad shows. I mean, there was like bad moments or we feel like we messed up or like whatever, something that didn't flow as good. But like everybody showed up every show and played their heart out and played as good as they could. And I mean, Haley definitely does that every night. But I think sometimes in the band, you can kind of escape. And you can kind of, I did, like back in when it was, we first started the band, when I was burnt out or whatever, you kind of escape and just do your part.
Go through the motions, yeah.
Yeah,
muscle memory. Anytime I felt that happening, I'd look at the crowd and it just saw these people like, this is their night. This is, they went with their friends, their partner, their, and it was like, I was like, I'm at your show. I better like show up for you because this is like, it's not Paramore show right now. This is like, you know, the fans.
Yeah. That was what was really great about it was that, yeah, of course, Haley, you know, you're blessed with this natural ability to, when you get on a stage, I think you're drawn to perform and to emote these songs at the highest level. But the band around you, as I've said before, everyone was firing on all cylinders on this tour.
It's weird. Like when I now look back at the whole discography, there's always like a song or two where there's a groove that I can remember really being drawn to. Like, probably when we were younger, one of my least favorite songs to perform, or after we recorded it, was Whoa. And then when we play it live, this is when we were like 16, there was something about the groove, and it's always drums for me, you know, there was something about the groove in those verses that it would just like pump me up. And I'd be like, I don't even think I liked this song that much. Like, you know, because at that point, we made that record in 3 weeks, you know, when we were kids. And so every album had, like, That's What You Get on Riot, you know, having this, like, time signature change, polyrhythmic things happening. And then, like, every album has at least a couple until you get to self-titled, and it's so many of the songs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more swing. And then Zachary joins, and on After Laughter, we pushed even further into that, into funk and, like, our
love. So a lot of those were Taylor's initial drum beats that I just embellished. True. So don't give me all the credit for that.
You have a lot of that. Like that, I think that's always been your thing too.
Well, the three of us, drumming was the first instrument for all three of us.
Yeah,
our first love. And so I think we all just write rhythmically and connect.
You do, because you definitely play very rhythmically. And that's very evident on this album.
Yeah.
Man, you're in the pocket. It's the biggest compliment I could give any guitar player, any player, is you found a pocket on this album, which is something else.
I mean, I agree.
You know, you all did. It really pushed your performance as a singer and as a lyricist to a new level too.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
No, I've been pretty quick to compliment the fellas in recent times, but I have to say, having lived with the album for a long time now, the writing is off the scale.
Oh, thank you.
Off the scale.
That means a lot. Because that's the thing I get. I'm the most critical about, probably more so than my vocal performance, and I'm pretty critical to myself. Words are the thing that I relate to the most in my favorite music, like by other artists. So, you know, there's lyrics on this album that are hyper simple, you know, but then there's other things that feel so niche, like to me, specific to me. And I'm really proud that they puzzled together in a way that, like, well, I'm just glad that we finished writing this record.
I'm not surprised, because the amount of emotional effort required to make a personal statement that really talks about all of us, that's tough.
Yeah,
it's one thing to go into something that is explore a lyrical theme that's very personal, and don't worry about it. I love your band. I'll find a way to apply it to my life. Right? That's the narcissism of being a fan. It's beautiful. You're writing it about me and all of us.
Totally.
But you actually are this time.
Mm.
If there's one theme on this album, I hope I don't mess this up, but to me, it really is, you know, quite a serious take on the human condition.
Oh, fuck. Thank you.
And not in a sort of I understand it way, in a sort of I don't understand it. Entirely part of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I contribute to it, absolutely. To the maniacal parts of it, to, like, the altruistic parts of it. It's, like, all in all of us. And that was an interesting unfolding too, because the first song that we wrote on the record was Thick Skull, and it was very much a retrospective on our career and my reputation and how that's affected me.
It's the most personal, can I use this word, but always a compliment almost, it's the most kind of indulgent lyric.
Totally. Mm. Oh yeah, I'm absolutely saying, like, what if all those stories that people, you know, would shit on me about, like, what if all those things were
real? I'm guilty.
Yes, yeah, and I loved it because I've always been so afraid of what people said about me in the context of Paramore, like truly terrified of it. And to be indulgent in that and to say, what if, was so freeing, man. Like, it was really healing to a younger version of myself. So I needed that. But, you know, that thing happened, and then we kept writing, and it was, you know, some of it's very much like mental health kind of topics. And then the surprise to me was, like, I kept watching American Psycho as we were writing this album because I was just like experiencing the cog in the wheel feeling and feeling like you get so easily swept up. We went from having 4 years off in this kind of bizarre piece that happened when we were all a bit left alone. Mm. And then obviously the pandemic added another layer to that. But as soon as we started working again, I just felt like I was insatiable. I was greedy to inwardly. Like I was...
Did your ego come alive? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Because, well, and in such a sad... Like sometimes I think that's such a good... propeller.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but there were a lot of things that I just found really icky that I was feeling.
Yeah, well, shit, because I hadn't been around Paramore for a while. So the ego's like, oh man, yeah, I am like, this, nothing feeds me like Paramore. Yes.
It's so true. I was like really terrified of it. I was also like, again, there was like an indulgence in it all. And yeah, I found a lot of those layers that I had not tapped into and tried to use them in a way that could maybe be helpful.
It goes without saying, but I'll say it. You are one of the most talented lyricists and singers that I know, and I think that are in our orbit as friends and musicians. But I think it was really cool for me when Taylor and I would be writing music and then be like, oh, what's Haley going to come back with on this one? And for you to go in, I was so inspired and so thankful you did this, but you can easily go in and like kind of come back with a story or something, but to have Haley come back and it was way more self-reflective to level up in that is a really hard thing to do. And that was really cool to see.
Was there a moment when you got something back or you heard, I don't know how this works. I mean, I don't know whether you're writing and demoing and you can hear it in process or whether, you know, you're getting sent something back and you need pure isolation. Maybe we start there. I mean, how do you get to these songs once you start hearing music forming?
I mean, rarely it'll happen while we're just all in the room. I think it happened with the news, a couple other songs. But yeah, a lot of times I kind of have to just go away and be in a corner. I used to sit in my closet a lot as a kid. I'm sure there's a lot of jokes there. But I would sit in the closet.
There's also a lot of people who did the same thing.
Yes.
But it's small. It's confined. Yes. It's the closest thing, and no one's going to find you.
It feels right.
Safe. Yeah.
You're just covered with your clothes. A lot of times mine are all over the floor. But I...
Not hung up.
I would, yeah, not at all. But I would use that. But now, being an adult, it's like you have a home, you know, like I just find little corners, and then I'll come back when I feel confident. But sometimes I have to sing something to myself like 1,000 times. Or sometimes I'll just do it in my head and then I'll go in and show them and be like, I haven't sang this out loud yet, so I don't know what it's going to be like. Mm. The cool thing for me on the opposite side is I never know what they're going to do because I feel like they get bored easily and they're like, we got to push ourselves or we got to try this. Or I was so happy to feel, like I told you the other day, like to kind of top line more than ever on this record and kind of stand back and... you know, save for a few songs. It was just so rad. Like, this is why I blew my mind. I was so excited about how funky it was. And
yeah, and then you penned one of the best lyrics for a long time.
No, stop.
No, but you nailed something that many, I think, would love to write about, but it's a fine line, that one, because what you're talking about is something that we all get drawn into.
So
how do you actually address it without being judgmental?
I do think that a lot of times when we write certain songs that are sarcastic, people don't always understand that I'm like, ain't it fun? Still to this day, there's people that are like, no, it ain't fun, Haley. And I'm like, bitch, that's the point. It's not fun. It is unfun.
But I think people underestimate the humor in Paramore, period.
Maybe.
There are some funny moments on this album.
Oh, thanks.
The chiropractic appointment. I mean, I chuckled at that.
The first thing that we wrote Thick Skull, and Taylor, he went into the studio by himself because he gets so anxious about solos. And when he showed us the solo, that little weird hammer-on thing at the end of the solo was like, we were like, yeah.
It was meant to be a joke.
We left it.
Because that, I mean, Zach and I, you know, when we were writing and we'd have guitars, I think Zach did it.
He
was playing something that was really cool.
Yeah,
and at the end,
that.
He just was like, nah, 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 nah. And so, you know, I just started putting it into random things and it just made its way to the end.
But, say comme ça.
Yes.
See what we're doing here? We're developing a little
skin. Do you write these down?
It's just happening this way. I'm getting out of the way. I'm getting out of the way of it.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, same.
Well, that song was really fun, and we joked about that the other day, and I think when you don't get your way, like when you're a kid, you throw shit or you slam your door. When you're a young person, and especially if you're successful, you get your team to slam your door for you.
Yeah.
But then what maturity allows you to do is to find that inner voice that calms you down yourself, right? And I think that's what that song kind of is a little bit to me, is it's sort of acknowledging change and it's okay.
Yes. Yeah, because I think all of us at different parts in this journey as friends and as a band have been so resistant to change, man. Like when we met you and we were all in that, like, I always call it like the second puberty, because you're like 19 years old and you're not a full-on adult with like feeling like you have all your own agency and all that stuff, but you're also not, you know, 15.
And you're dealing with adult shit.
You're already dealing with, you're like, the curtain is, you know, you're seeing behind it a little bit more. And I just can remember the three of us, you know, it was a 5-piece band back then, and we were bad to each other about change. Like if one of us started to kind of veer a different way and be into something else, or if, I mean, anything you can imagine that you kind of experience as a late teenager, the change that kind of brings upon, we were so resistant to it, and it made us not good friends to each other. Mm. And I think to this day, I struggle with it in different ways, and I keep trying to tell myself, like, and you say this all the time to me, like, that is what anxiety is when you are just resistant to the realities of something. And depression can be that too, but that must be a lifelong, like, learning lesson.
But that being said, listening to this album, like, not only do you sound more present as a band and as a writer than ever before, and more willing to acknowledge that, but you're also, I've never heard you so clear about the things that aren't right and weren't right. Big Man, Little Dignity, big time. That's just like, you see it clearly, I think, in that song.
I think you can't say some of that stuff when you're in it. It's just you don't have the right vantage point. Or I certainly don't, because of the resistance that we're talking about to the present.
Was there a moment that inspired that song? Was there something came to mind that stirred that song?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I just think I love that movies and series are being made about this more than ever right now, like really exposing people in power and hierarchies, all that stuff, and kind of showing the ugly side of it also, the side that we don't always get to see that's grossly strategic or that's really unjust or whatever. I think because of the internet, we see it more than ever. But like I think my own experience, and a lot of the women in my family are part of this. It's like I kind of grew up seeing there was just a lot of bad men. And I'm not talking about my dad or my grandfather, because thankfully those are the most direct, you know, those are the most immediate relatives that are male in my family. But that's not who I'm talking about. But the men that were adjacent, you know, like in my family, there's a lot of bad guys. And so that was part of it. And I think I got to finally have time to untangle it with the 4 years and really going to therapy for the first time consistently in my life, realizing that I don't, you know, it's okay to realize that you have anger towards people. Like, it's okay to find a common thread. Like, for instance, those are all men. Those are all, like, white, straight men, right? But it's about the personal. It's about the personal experience and what I've seen. And I really have to keep myself from projecting that all over just the general, you know, and making it a generalized, all these people are probably not trustworthy, you know, because that's just not true. Look at our team. Look at my life. Like, my whole life is filled with beautiful, empathetic, smart men. You know, that's, I'm lucky. That doesn't happen a lot, especially to women in the industry.
You know, you say, you know, and I'm paraphrasing badly, but, you know, I want it to change, but I know that it never will.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
I know, man. I do think that's the unfortunate thing about power, you know, about systems that have been, that are just like archaic and.
So power's interesting, though, because power is having a microphone and amplification and an audience that wants to hear you sing. Power is having a chance to sit down on the stage and take a moment, which I'd imagine for you is not pre-written or premeditated, and decide to talk about something that's on your mind.
I don't know if y'all can hear it, but my voice shakes a little bit sometimes because I'll start to really understand that it's very present and it could get away from me. And so my voice will shake a little
bit.
But
you can't get away from it. It's going to happen.
I felt that when we were at Young Fest, which was, very nostalgic, very championing the emo scene, which by the way was really, it was not cool at the time, which I'm not sure that you can make a newer generation understand that, because they seem to think that it was so cool and that it is so cool, which is so sweet and cool and rad, you know? Yeah. But it wasn't cool. It was kind of nerdy and kind of just weird and very toxic. So when we were young, the morning that we woke up on the first show, which was on a Saturday, I just noticed I had so much anger in my body and I couldn't figure out why. And the more I was writing any feeling that I had, because I knew something was in there. It wasn't going to be good if it didn't come out. And it's interesting that I got it all out and then I said a version of that on the stage and I still felt so angry. It almost fueled it. But I realized it's because when I was 16, I didn't let myself feel those things. Mm. So I think when you stifle any feeling that you have, obviously it's going to grow or it's going to set into place.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just kind of becomes part of your decision making, or it's your lens now. And and I just feel like we needed a moment to kind of say, like, we are grateful, and we're so grateful that this scene has changed, like to look out, see all types of people enjoying this music and being allowed to enjoy it. But we're not always grateful for the experiences that we had. Like, we're, I think, you know, very fortunate to have made it out.
Yeah, that's the important word.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Because made it. But you made it 10 years ago. But you actually made it out.
Yeah, we needed to transcend it in some way. And it's not a being better than or a feeling like, you know, we're so much cooler and we need to be. But it was not the place to land. It was not we had not arrived because we were not comfortable there. How do you protect your peace, you know? Like, after a while, like, you just have nothing left to give if you are pouring out all the time, if you're cramming a lot of traumatic shit into your head. It's just hard.
Well, it leads to mild depression, which leads to which generally means that you deny yourself the opportunity to do anything and you make excuses, and that's called running out of time.
Yes.
Wow. Well done.
That's called running.
Have you done this before?
That's called running out of time, because that to
someone
me
get
is
this
like,
guy a job.
that to me is like, I mean, first of all, that's become one of my favorite songs ever. Mm. Like, I listen to that song all the time.
Thank you.
That song to me is really, you know, more a reflection on that expectation of consideration.
Oh.
You know?
How'd you summarize that so well?
It's hard to be considerate all the time when everyone expects it of you. And I think it's in particular, it's really tough when you're an artist, because your job is to kind of constantly be in here.
You know, like, running out of time for me is like the feeling of, I remember when we were like 19 and I was closer with Taylor Swift at that point, because we both lived in Nashville and we're both kind of experiencing our own versions of like real success for the first time. And I went over to hang out. She's a really good cook, by the way. She's a really good cook. She like has taught me how to make stuff that I did not retain at all. But
I love that she's a great chef, but she's also, she teaches.
Oh my God.
Because most people who are great in the kitchen that I know are like, get the fuck out of the kitchen.
No.
Right.
No, she was good. It was great. But the first time that I went over and we were looking around her place, and she was like, oh, and this is my little closet where like I keep gifts and things that I, like if I randomly am just like, I'm going to send them something, or like I did something and they hosted me and I want to thank them. And I was like, oh my God, my life is so not together. I can barely remember to send someone a card or flowers. Like, there are still Christmas gifts at my house that I have not sent to my friends, just like sitting there in, you know, in the back of my closet.
Well, the Christmas just gone. Amazing.
Yes. Like, got out here, and two of the people I was supposed to give a gift to, I was like, sorry, I forgot to put it in my suitcase, so you still don't get a gift. But, like, that, like, I wish that I was the person that just, like, could, just had, felt like I had all my shit together. And I was like, oh, I had some extra time, so I'm just popping by with some flowers.
Right.
You know, like, that kind of a thing. That is my idealized self.
Can I ask you a question? Why are you still clicking the sticks before you come in? What's the aesthetic reason behind that?
You first.
Oh, my God. That song is such a crush.
I think it's just kind of like, it's just classic, you know? I think it's, there's not a lot of that like nuance left in records.
I agree.
Everybody just like trims the fat, if you will. Like, yeah, puts things in time.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of like, I don't know, I think it's fun to like leave a tambourine dropping on the ground, or like leaving some air.
Yeah, I loved it because it was like, oh, there's a drummer here, and he's about to fucking play the shit out of the song. Mm. And then the offbeat, the whole thing is just awesome. And to me, it's really, and this is where I do get to really dive in to the instrumentation side of things, because the playing on that song to me is sort of like the sum of all parts of the album. It has the energy, it has this kind of like almost industrial guitar work that's going on around it that's very cold, but then there's warmth around it and so much humanity around the playing as well. Mm. And so I just want a story about that song, because I'm kind of obsessed with it, and I've listened to it probably 6 times today already.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. This is the one that you want to start diving into. This is the song that I fought with everything in me to like take off the record.
Why?
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Give me a moment. I've been like so anxious this entire interview.
Why? Really?
Oh yeah.
I feel like
I'm 12 years old. I'm like in my head thinking about, I'm like, man, he was like having coffee with Tom York. And they were talking about these, you know, amazing things. And like, I'm sitting here.
You did have coffee with Tom York.
I was like, who's he talking about? He's talking about you.
But yeah, I did. But I just like,
I mean, having, I've seen every episode, having, like, every show.
But two around, I just feel like I feel so small.
Oh, but T,
and, like, I'm like, what do I do with my hand?
But I'm so sorry, T, because for me, in the last year at least, and if not sooner, and I think Haley will vouch for me on this. Mm-hmm. I need you to know how much I respect and love what you do, bro.
Oh.
Like, echelon for me now, oh, as a musician. Like, what you do as a writer and as a player, like, fuck the cameras. No disrespect, I love the crew, but fuck the cameras.
Great cameras.
Love you guys so much.
What I mean is, fuck the interview. I'll tell you straight up, on or off the record, and I'll tell anyone who'll listen, that you're playing in the way that you drive this music and give this canvas for emotion to come out, but somehow you make it hard and danceable, and I want to rage and move in different ways. Like, it's nuts what you do, dude.
Because I also have ADHD, which I think maybe everyone does now. I don't know, but like, fidgeting's like a big thing for me.
Same.
And so I'm like, but I'm trying to not.
Check this out. If you look at my interviews, this is the best interview I've ever done, by the way. And then I'm gonna confess something in a second. If you look at my interviews, if you watch closely, not that anyone ever would, but I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance to look at my hands when I'm sitting down, more often than not, you'll see me making shapes with my fingers really gently and quietly,
really,
and subtly all the time. Because I'm exactly the same. But I can't fidget when I'm conducting an interview.
Right,
so
right.
I have to contain it in a tiny little space in order to settle it. And also, look at my foot right now. it's off the ground.
Yes.
Because everything's tense.
Yes. Because
I'm totally. So here's my thing. I was really sick last week and I'm fine. I'm not contagious, but I'm still full of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like totally off my game.
Yes.
So we're all off our game. Who's always on his fucking game?
Like,
so
what does that mean? Do you feel like you're always on your game? Because I've experienced you as that, but yeah, I want to know.
I don't know. I'm human, you know? I think I felt, it's weird to like be on a flight and do all these things and mm-hmm. then you're just in the middle of like, oh, let's walk in, get in front of cameras.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's definitely like the first couple minutes my heart was like, I was like, I wonder if they can hear that in the thing, like in the room, like do, 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 do.
It's so like fascinating because we never address this. I'm stoked we're having this conversation because I never know what anyone's experiencing opposite me. I'm just trying to make it as comfortable as possible. Love you guys. But this is not normal.
Yeah,
you know. Not. But I look at them as like an opportunity to just capture, if we can get something that supports the intention of the music.
Totally.
And we can store that forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then when people look back on these albums and they listen to them, then they'll have a better understanding at least of what was going on if you're willing to go there.
I think it's a cool like intro into like having Taylor talk about you first, because it's so easy to talk about like running out of time, like mm-hmm. these songs that were like aha moments, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, cool tones and we used this drum kit and did this thing. Mm-hmm. But the heart of it really is like, I didn't really like this song.
Agree with me, bro.
You know, yeah. I think that's cool. And I think that's a testament to not only Taylor's, you know, his playing, and he leveled up as well on this record. I really do believe that. But leveled up as a team player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to do this even though I really don't want to do that.
So T is somebody who puts their heart and soul into every detail of an album, which I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to a place where you're okay with a song that you don't want on the album going on the album? Because bands have broken up over that shit.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually. I was never okay with it. And I should say I never felt necessarily at peace about it. You know,
yeah,
I think.
Confident.
Yeah, I mean, this song I think was, I think some of the last guitar stuff I did, like we, at the very end, you know, kind of we're going through everything and kind of tying up loose ends and readdressing things that we thought we could make better. And I think this was the last one. And it's funny because there's parts on that song that I should have redone in my head because of changes that happened. But I was so burnt out and done that Carlos, you know, was like laughing because I just started packing all my guitar stuff up. I started wrapping up all my...
No one actually called time. You were just like, it's done. We're done.
Well, yeah. And Carlos is like, I guess he's done with guitars. And I was like, not really in a good way
Carlos.
In that moment. I was...
Yeah.
It felt like, in looking back, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it certainly felt like I had given every bit that I could. I mean, I like broke down on this record and was like...
Yeah.
Had a full meltdown and was like, bawling, and you know, I'm glad that it happened in retrospect. I think that it was a growing moment for myself and for us as a mm-hmm. as a group.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really painful. You know, I think I'm the one. It's like I'm so grateful that God that I'm not a solo artist, because I get into the minutiae like way too far. You know, because I just. Music is so emotional for me. I don't hear lyrics. It's the last thing I hear.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that. And obviously, I will go back and listen to what Haley's written, although there's still some songs I don't know what she's saying, to be honest. But it's such an emotional thing for me. And if everything doesn't come together in this super specific way, which is also, I have no idea even what that is. I'm chasing
mm-hmm.
some dangling carrot.
Did that when you produced for Petals. I think that was was your emotional downfall.
Yeah, I feel like I have one of those every record now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that this song, you know, I don't think I ever got to a place where I felt like I was fully behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to it now, it's different because it's like such a snapshot, mm-hmm. and I can experience it from a new perspective, you know? And so the part of that perspective is like, I remember that feeling of being like, this is not right. Mm. You know, like my body's like,
I've been there, damn, man. Yeah, your yeah. skin crawls, you feel uncomfortable, you just mm-hmm. cannot listen to another second of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but so many people from our label or management team are like, that is always consistently one of the very favorite songs.
Yes.
And so it's like a
yes. you know,
universe is like, cruel joke to me.
I think it's also so like us. Sorry if you. Were you
no, I just rambling.
I think it's like us really finding our like honing in on our individual tools for this band. You mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. like this is why it was such a perfect storm of just like came together quickly, mm-hmm. and then Taylor really had like not only guitars to worry about, but he really got to focus on that. Mm-hmm. And I think it really everybody had their like this. I'm, you know, like in a sport, you know, you had your position, and we all. Nailed it. And I think sometimes Taylor takes this weight of like, I mean, a lot of times, and that's why the band sounds, the records sound as good as they do. They're finished because of, they're started because of Taylor initiating things. So could not do it without him. But I also think he can't sometimes move without the, yeah. like the chess piece of us.
Correct.
And so I think we are learning this like way to like move and sharpen our tools in this band. And it really kind of all happened at that, I think, personally, at the end of the record with This Is Why. That's mm-hmm. why I'm like so excited to make more music.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like we finally clicked into something where it was yeah. like, dude, Taylor was like, dude, listen to what I did. And there's just like this moment where I know Taylor is like really proud of something because he doesn't say anything. He's just like, he's like, yeah, see what you think. And it's just
that's
like,
so
wait,
true.
You just did what on the bridge? What on the,
true.
And it was just like, the bridge, like I heard it for the first time and I was like, okay, what? Like, and he wasn't like, yeah, I don't know. He was just quiet about it. He's mm-hmm. like, listen to it.
That's so
and you weren't
true.
Cocky or anything. He was just kind of like, you felt a peace about it.
Yeah.
No? And I think we just, once we all learn how to take that initiative and help each other out, it just like flows.
You know, that's good. I don't ever feel confident, but I think that's true. I think peace is a better word.
Yeah.
You know, this is definitely the most collaborative record we've done within our band from start to finish, like yeah. every single song the three of us wrote. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for like Self-Titled or After Laughter, you know, before Zach came back, you know, I was trying to...
Yeah, all the music.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin Parker, like I think Currents had just come out, you know, so everyone was like, oh my gosh, I gotta do everything.
Mm.
And it was super yeah. inspiring, but I think with my personality, it was like, it was a lot, because I expected myself
that.
To do
yes.
everything and everything like
yeah.
on this next level. And anyways, fast forward to this record, I felt like to have Zach back and like from the beginning to like my favorite drummer to be like, oh, I get to bounce my, like we get to bounce our ideas off each mm-hmm. other. And so like, you know, for it not to be like, okay, what drum beat should this be? And then what guitar part? And then like what synth thing?
Yeah.
It was like
yeah.
far more like we were able to paint together. Yeah. So none of that. That's why I don't ever want to do guitar interviews or anything, is because I'm not even saying this to sound cool or whatever. I just don't know what I'm doing. I don't have some sort of plan.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
have some sort of a plan. And
right.
I think it just, it happens, and it doesn't happen in a necessarily like beautiful way. Mm. It's normally like really annoying and... But I think that's what also has been really great about, again, collaborating, is that a lot of times, like when I'm in creating in a vacuum, you know, I'll be writing one part for hours. And I
yeah.
think it's been awesome because Haley and Zach, you know, will be like, oh, you passed it a while ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I have to trust them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like it was back there, but then they're, you know, gracious enough to let me. I have to like scratch 10 itches
yeah.
to be able to go back to that place sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I've ever heard you explain it that way, and that makes it make even more sense, because mm-hmm. we're there all for all of it, and each of us have such a vastly different angle in mm-hmm. to the creative process. So it's funny talking about it in hindsight, because I think it makes the most sense now than ever.
One of the things I love about Paramore is how you are such an
your community driven experience. Like, there isn't an artist I know you, who doesn't love you and want to just kind of either support you or super grateful for your support.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think you truly understand as a band, you know, what it is to make that decision to be an artist in your life, and you don't take it for granted. And I sort of wonder what you're learning along the way from that about what's important to you and to your peers and your contemporaries, and help us to better understand truly what is important to an artist.
I was just talking to someone. I don't want to say any names because I don't want to put them on the spot.
They're famous. Tell you that much.
But they're super
I need a second
famous.
On that one. That was amazing. That was the greatest guitarist comment for a lead singer of all time.
Oh, he has so many every
that
day
great.
That will never get heard.
This year might change a little bit. I'm seeing some shifts in Taylor already.
Yeah,
so you gotta build
unlock something. I'm happy to do it.
So I was talking to someone who was like, you know what's crazy is when you put out something that like feels like it's working and it's going so well. They said, then people don't want to say nice things to your face because they want to be different about it. Mm. And they want to feel like, well, I'm saying the truth. I'm saying the real thing.
Yeah. I'm the contrary opinion.
Yeah. That's what I find interesting about being in positions where you put something out into the world that ultimately it's like your ego wants validation for. Yeah. Your soul just needs the release. Like, there's so many reasons why, right? But it's always interesting to me, we're all so sensitive. And I think that, I mean, it's probably why ever since you came over to Taylor's house and we did that sit down, it was such a impactful experience for us, because I can tell you we have been, especially like from my personal experience, I've felt so traumatized by certain interviews we've done growing up, like when we were younger especially. And that, I was also terrified going into After Laughter because of just personal mm-hmm. things that were happening in our life and my life. You were so empathetic. And I think that empathy is really the thing. I mean, artists do exist to kind of put a spotlight on emotional shit that's hard to explain.
It's one thing I don't think I'll truly ever understand is why we can't just leave music alone sometimes.
Dude, oh man,
like,
I
if
know.
Anything should just be left alone, it's probably music.
It's so sacred, you know? But that's just what humans do with sacred things. We're good at it.
It's the figure eight.
Yeah. Oh, jeez!
God, thank God for that. I've been dancing around that for 35 minutes trying to find a way in.
Damn.
You did
You're
it.
You're just letting me flail while you thought of the right way to transition.
All of it was incredibly important.
Yeah.
Wow. It was a powerful just amount of
kidding.
Flail going
I mean,
on there.
Look, figure eight, we were so excited about, though, just to bring that back, because we had yet to write a heavy song on this, you know, as this iteration of ourselves. And we were like, this slaps, man. We like this. This feels not like we're reaching, but just like it's what's naturally occurring. And we're not forcing it. We're not trying to, like, you know, meet those expectations of the people that are coming around to our older music today.
Yeah.
We're just like, this is a moment. It's maybe not who we are all the time, but it's definitely valid.
I just wouldn't be doing the album justice unless I at least created an open place to talk about Liar.
Yeah, it's one of the favorites.
I think it's one of, if maybe it's like the best composition I think you've ever done, like definitely right at the very top.
When I heard the music, I think they had been working on, it was maybe just the verse. So that's what I got first. I was so excited. And this is another aspect of, like, you know, working on the music and me getting ready to write to it. That's so, to me, it's just really fascinating how each person hears something. I literally was writing to the rhythm that's there, but in reverse. I'm not even sure if we ever actually figured out how I was counting, but
the second verse.
The second, I mean, yeah, both verses kind of like line up a little differently the way I'm singing to him. So I love singing that song and feeling floaty in it. And I think that this is probably the only place that I would ever feel comfortable to talk about this. For me, being in a relationship that feels mutually respectful and honoring of the other for the first time in my whole life, and being one of the first people in my family other than my granny and granddad to experience that like so early on is terrifying. It's so scary to think that you know what it's like to be in a good relationship, only to find that you've been fooling you've been kidding yourself. And I just forever would say things to myself like, well, you know, it's hard because it's real. Like, it hurts because it's real. You know, when I was in places in my life where I was just making terrible decisions for my heart. And when something has ease to it, doesn't mean it's always easy, but when something has ease to it and when something feels healthy and, again, like, respectful.
It's got to be wrong.
It must be wrong. And I fought that feeling and said to myself that that's just a convenient thing. You're just trying to go to where maybe your ego likes it, or maybe, you know, I just made up anything that I could. But like, to be the people that, like, the three of us sitting right here, this is the people I've known the longest in my life, that I've had the most consistent friendships with, relationships, you know, like, it's been the most real journey. And to realize that I love both of these people more than I've ever loved anyone in my life, but I love them both slightly differently, that was also terrifying, because I thought I must be a horrible person. I must be wrong. I must be everything that people have said about me. You know, is Haley going to date every one of her band members? You know, just like the bullshit that has been said. You know, when you've got enough reasons to be afraid, you know, aside from how afraid love can make someone feel, it's we've all now, all three of us sitting here are in healthy relationships with people that, I feel like my voice is shaking now, where we feel like we get to be who we are. Me and you talk about this a lot. When you haven't had a lot of great examples.
Yeah.
Who do you look to?
You turned it into such an amazing song.
You know, I can't wait to hear like the crowd sing the bridge at shows, because I feel like the song's so different for us, but that part, the bridge, feels so classic for a Paramore show.
Is that the most honest, simply honest lyric you've ever written?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's also nice that it's an honest thing that's not about a negative thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you calm when you finished the demo for that music?
Yeah.
I mean, we all are each other's biggest fans, so none of us doubt each other's talent or creativity. But you also, you know,
there's so many times that we'll write songs or parts or whatever that, you know, like, I will be so excited about, and, you know, oftentimes it just won't connect with Haley, and it doesn't mean anything about maybe, you know, what we gave her, but it is, you have to kind of grieve that idea,
that's
a really powerful observation. You've got to grieve your own expression. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, real.
There was a, you know, there's always a moment, you know, especially this record, because, you know, it wasn't just me sending an idea. It was Zach and I working on something together and finding our way to some sort of stopping point to send it to Haley, you know? And so I think, yeah, but it did feel, every time we would do that, it always feels a little scary.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I don't think it's like, oh, what if we don't like it? But you're also like, you can't help but also imagine what you think someone might top line over it, or like, ooh, I hope it's like this. And it's normally never that, you know, but it always turns out to be, if it indeed does connect, it always turns out to be better, you know? And it always, I think, what's cool is we normally don't ever send a full song. Yeah. You know, I learned very early on that I would spend like days working on, you know,
just trying and to finish like, this thing. And then, I can't write.
Yeah, so we'll just send little sections and then she'll do something that completely inspires us to go into a new, in an area that we wouldn't have gone to. So anyway, I guess there's always a little bit of a nervous energy, but not out of like distrust or like doubt, but just like, hopefully this thing that we love makes it. Hopefully it survives, you know, to the end.
It tees us up perfectly for this kind of closure, which is classic sort of Paramore for me now, which is like, there's two ways you should look at life. And one is like, crave the moment, search for it, appreciate it even if you can't get it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Which I think is what that song's about, maybe, like.
I think the overarching feeling is that when you're experiencing a beautiful moment, you're so afraid for it to end that you don't experience it.
Oh my God.
I do that a lot.
Same. So it's the big letting go. That's the big letting go.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, Crave really gets that. When I hear it, I'm like, wow, you really get it. Like, even though you haven't mastered it, and guess here's the newsflash, we never will.
No, right.
But you get it. At least you get it.
Yeah.
Whereas when you don't get it, that's when you're just in a thrash forever.
Just a funny note about Crave.
Love.
Taylor and I were in one room. And then Haley was in the other room. And I don't know if this attributes, like, you were starting to feel a little bit more comfortable, like, or maybe we were getting on you, like, hey, you should go. I can't remember what it was, but I just remember we'd stop, like, working on This Is Why or The News or something. Like, some of the last songs we were working on. And you could just hear Haley's computer playing Crave so loud, like, the chorus. And we're like, oh, she's writing to that. But it was like, oh, not far enough in another room that wouldn't, like, we didn't hear it. You remember that?
Oh,
we were just, like, stopped
playing
something, like, oh, we're thinking this. And it was just, like, the chorus blasting. Of
I was really hoping you were going to say that she was playing Angry Birds in the chorus.
Or maybe she just had it on loop, making us think she was writing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely I was not writing the whole time. I was just sitting there being like, what am I going to say to this? And also, like, a lot of times when we write simple things, you think it's too simple and it's not. And that was, like, that verse is so... Gosh, it felt so, like, there was something so early 2000s to me in the sense that I got, like, in my body, like, when we would write when we were kids together, you know? And that, I loved that about it because of what it ended up being about. It's just about really trying to appreciate every second and, like, squeeze the juice out of every second and don't abandon it before you finish. Like, don't be over here planning the next move before you even make
this. Are you
this
there now
move.
As a band? Because I know, you know, I read the... Well, I actually watched your conversation with Wet Leg, which was amazing, and you talked about that feeling of that friendship that you've developed with certain artists of a generation, a younger generation. Billy is the one you mentioned, and and being able to see what she's going through. And I think, you know, if you can get away from what you were and get to where you are, maybe you can actually use what you were in a positive way.
Yeah.
Are you there?
More than I have been, but I also think that it's not a linear pattern. It's not a growth pattern that just feels like this. It kind of feels like, you know what I mean? And God, I wish it was as simple as, oh, we came off the, I thought it was going to be this. We went off the road. I got into therapy. We all started taking better care of ourselves. We started communicating better. And now we're just good. And I think I fooled myself for a second thinking like, well, this is just part of our life. This isn't everything. Like, we have all this other foundational stuff that's like back home, that's with our families, that's in our homes, you know? And it just doesn't ever, there's always like a thing in, that's somewhere in your head trying to like, you know, there's just a like a little kid version of you with a hammer on glass being like, but what about this? Like, did you forget? And I am trying to figure out how to hug that person, how to ignore that person when it's necessary, and like, you know, show that person respect for trying to like maybe protect me.
There were so many times on this record too that we had just like these aha moments that reminded us like why we started loving music in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, like together and individually. But
Thick Skull was one.
Thick Skull, when we wrote the chorus of Running Out of Time and that whole song.
Yeah.
It was just like, it wasn't like, oh, this reminds me of music when we were growing up. It was like, this is what reminds me of why we got into music.
Yeah.
And that's like, something I feel like you're always chasing, but you could never really like mm-hmm. find it unless it comes to you. And it
was one of those moments when you actually landed on that dun, 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 and running out of time when you open up the cymbals at the second half of that chorus. Because that shit is just like as a singular granular moment.
Yes.
That's such a fucking powerful moment
on
the record.
So good. The bass going with
dun, 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 dun. Everything's just like.
God, man.
Yeah, Brian did such a good job on that record. Yeah.
I think verses and bridges are like my favorite thing to write because I feel like I have a little bit more of like.
Less pressure on your
head. Yeah, choruses.
We've
ruined choruses forever.
Yeah, and this is so much pressure to deliver, you know, the thing.
Yes.
You know, and so verses and bridges, I feel like I can like be my like mantic wild self. And so anyway, like I always say, Zach was like the musical chorus whisperer on this record.
Yeah.
I would like be writing these guitar parts or we were doing all this together, but we'd get to the chorus and I would like essentially freeze.
Mm.
And, but that song was cool because I had a few chord voicings that I liked, but I couldn't put them together. And then like Zach was like, what if you did like add this chord and then he gave the rhythm to it.
Mm.
And it was like, holy shit. That was one of my favorite moments of this whole thing was like us finding.
It's like we unlocked something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a normal progression. That's what I love about
right?
it.
Yeah.
You know what's awesome is as well, this happens very rarely in my life, while we're being fully transparent. It doesn't often happen that my colleague will go around the side and hold up his phone and just says in big capital words, rap. Which he did before, but Taylor was talking, and do you know how fucking rare it is that we get Taylor to talk? I ain't rapping shit.
No.
I realized that the early interviews that we had that went really, I mean, they were relatively normal and smooth. There was some in-depth conversation. It was much shorter. You know, I realize now that we really didn't know each other at all. and really, this is the true paramour.
Yeah.
And I guess I've shown my true self as well.
Thank you.
So I'm glad.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we love you so much, man. It just means so much that we get a friendship with you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. You're the best. You really are. You're awesome. There was traffic, spilled my coffee, crashed my car. Otherwise, would
have been here on time. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.